deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
And hi, this is Mary Warnoff from Rock and Roll High School also.
And you're listening
to the Big Scary Show.
This is Dick Terhune, the voice from hell, on the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is John Miore. I'm from 16 different zombie movies, including 2004's Dawn of the Dead and Land of the Dead and Survival of the Dead. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This week on The Big Scary Show, we speak to another vendor from the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference. Storm rants on. In a hot minute, the unknown scare actor invites HauntCon to face their fears. We speak with a true legend of the silver screen as Badger talks to the creature. We have a very scary guest coming in to the round table of terror to talk about a very fast and emerging technology in the haunt industry. The Haunt Rocker plays some dark, menacing tunes, including bluegrass. We have deadline news, a special live review of Jerry Vane's music at 100 Acre Manor, Mommy D, and more on The Big Scary Show.
Belly corpse maker from the wilds of Arkansas. Bow your necks and spread for the pet child of calamity is a coming. Ha! 2, 3, 4.
Pinebox Boys. Pinebox. Child of Calamity. Child of Calamity. On the Big Scary Show.
On the Big Scary Show.
Hey, mister, is that all you're gonna pour? I thought you said that we were drinking. Don't count the shots, we count the barrels. There's a light out here, don't go out. Sometimes it gets blinking, prickly, and spark and pop out. Farewells, think I see a flicker in your light. We're gonna fight. The smell of weakness gets my hammer nailed in. I'm bad when I feel good, but I'm meaner when I'm nailing. So bow down, the child of calamity is coming. Daredevil, proud to say, took it on the jaw.
Wow.
doubts. Pardon you could know just how I feel by standing still. A silver smoke, bloody execution. Some folks call it madness, but I call it retribution. So bow down, the child of calamity is coming. Daredevil proud to say it took it on the jaw. Bow down, the child of calamity is coming. I'm the mighty widow baker from the wilds of Arkansas.
Hi, this is the Hunt Rocker Jerry Vane, and I want to talk to you about Thorn Web Designs. Jimmy Talkington at Thorn Web Designs does my music site, jerryvane.com, and is the official website designer for BigScaryShow.com. Jimmy works for Hunt and has been in this business a long time, and he knows just what to do to make your site work for you. As a client of his for 2 years, I can tell you right now, Jimmy takes pride in what he does to make sure the website is what you want, when you want, and on time. And best of all, great prices and great customer service. So if you need a custom website for your haunted attraction, metal band, or anything else, I want you to visit thornwebdesigns.com and see what Jimmy Talkington can do for you. Thorn Web Designs, the official web designer of the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, Rabid Badger Haunt Consulting, and The Big Scary Show.
Greetings, mortals, and anyone else listening. This is your Deadline News. We want to start off the news today with a special shout-out to Audra Lynn Mozingo of Ohio for being the Big Scary Show's 100th like on our Facebook page. Congratulations. Anyone else? Tell your friends. Please come like our page. The 200th, 300th, 400th, etc., we just may mention your name, and you just might get a shout-out. Congratulations, Audra Lynn Mozingo of Ohio, for being our 100th like on the Big Scary Show's Facebook page. We have a little bit of news from Froggy's Fog for all your fog and scent products. They're offering special deals now through the Midwest Haunters Convention, especially when it comes to cash and carry. Last year, they sold out of all their products cash and carry on the first day. Don't get left behind. Go to froggiesfog.com for all the details. We have news from Creepy Collection. They're announcing their new Pigmeister and Demonic Lunger props were one of the reasons they had record sales at the National Haunters Convention. And they're offering a special deal. Their FearFlex technology can be applied to any of their static props for a really good price that's too good to mention here. For more information, visit them at the Midwest Haunters Convention or creepycollection.com. We have a little bit of news from Bloody Mary, Bobby Wiener, and the Midwest Haunters Convention. On Friday, she is holding a Makeup to Die For hands-on class that lasts 3 hours. Attendees will be paired up and will work on each other, and each pair of attendees will get a makeup kit, courtesy of Bloody Mary. You can sign up at the Midwest Haunters site. And she's also sponsoring Monster Makeup Wars at 5 p.m. on Saturday. You can get more information at MidwestHauntersConvention.com. And speaking of the Midwest Haunters Convention, the Big Scary Show will be covering it. And we may be holding a couple of Round Table of Terrors, quote-unquote, live while we're there. If you have ideas for a subject or wish to participate, given you are an expert in a particular topic, please email us at news@bigscaryshow.com or roundtable@bigscaryshow.com. We have news from the Goatman Hollow Haunted Attraction in Maryland. Unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond their control, they will not be opening this year, but I have heard rumors that they have big plans that they are going to announce when they open back up in 2013. All I can say is, stay tuned for more details. The Big Scary Show will have that news when it comes. Speaking of 2013, 2013 marks the return of MonsterCon to the Greenville-Spartanburg, South Carolina area. It's been dormant for a few years, but they are bringing MonsterCon back with tons and tons of special guests, lots and lots of vendors, a whole lot of cool stuff. They don't have all the details worked out. As I said, it's coming in 2013, but they invite you to go to their Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/MonsterConSC to get all the details on MonsterCon 2013 coming to the Greenville-Spartanburg, South Carolina area in 2013. We have a little bit of disturbing news and a little sad news coming from a very good friend of the haunt industry. Mr. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, is going through a really, really difficult financial time. In a nutshell, he's losing his job, losing some other things where we're not going to get into any details. But if anyone out there is interested in really, really amazing sound products, haunt music for your haunted attractions, spooky, dark, ambient sounds for any of your haunt attractions, Halloween parties, or anything, I encourage you to go over to hauntaudio.com. Pick up a copy of one of his CDs, download some of his music, use that stuff out there, and keep Virgil Franklin in your thoughts, prayers, and whatever. He's going through a difficult time. He does say he's coming to Midwest Haunters. We'll have a slew of his products available for sale. So please support one of the industry's good guys in the world of haunt music. Go to hauntaudio.com. This concludes this episode of Big Scary Show's Deadline News. If you have a news story, a blurb, any kind of an item you'd like to submit to us, send that information to news@bigscaryshow.com. Thank you for listening to Deadline News.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. So for the past 2 weeks, I've had a lot of people bringing me information on different aspects of what's going on out there with haunts trying to do their own reality series and vlogs, you know, those video blogs, whatever the hell you call them and stuff. And guess what? Screw any of these ideas with having a reality show. You guys don't need it. First of all, the haunt industry is not something built for a reality show. Game show reality shows, it works into it. But even those, they're not featuring the haunt industry. You know, if you're doing a vendor or something, you could do it. But what are you going to do? Get 6 episodes out of it? You think a haunt is going to get 6 episodes out of a reality series to make good TV? No. These Hollywood producers, they need to find good TV and do stuff that works. So either you have an amazing personality that everyone likes, or you're an a-hole that people are watching you to screw up and lose. Guess what? We all don't have sparkling personalities. We're haunters. We like skeletons, death, dark things, and wear black t-shirts and jeans all the time. We're not that likable. So concentrating on your own personal reality series and just running around for 15 minutes on YouTube saying absolutely nothing and then showing your dog is not a reality series. Going out there, bringing in people to come video your reality series and them thinking, hey, we're going to make it better and cut up your stuff is not helping anyone. If you want to help yourself, if you want to do the reality series you're actually working for, face on your reality of October. That's your reality series you're on. So concentrate on that. Don't think you're going to hit the big time, because you're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Get your Stormy Rant Fix in 140 characters on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hello, everyone. You've got Drew Badger live at the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Big Scary Show. And it's not often you get to talk to a living legend, especially from the golden age of the Universal Monsters. You know, there was the Frankenstein, there was the Dracula, the Wolfman, and my personal favorite, the Creature from the Black Lagoon. I'm with one of two men to have donned the gill suit. We all know Ben Chapman passed away a few years ago. But Rico Browning is here in Charlotte, meeting fans, signing autographs, promoting all the really cool stuff he did back with The Creature and lots of cool stuff. Let's find out what's going on with Rico. Mr. Browning, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
How has Charlotte been treating you? This was the very first Mad Monster Party, as we know, and I hope they have been nothing but super kind and have treated you like the celebrity you are.
They have, and I've enjoyed it very much.
Fantastic. I know they're having one here next year, so hopefully you'll be back, and lots of cool stuff. Can you tell us, for the people who aren't really familiar with how you got into this business, how did you evolve from just being a normal man on the street, and all of a sudden, bam, you're the creature from the Black Lagoon?
It's a long, drawn-out story. I'll try to make it brief.
We've got all night.
I had a friend who managed the hotel at Waukulla Springs, which is 18 miles south of Tallahassee. And I was attending Florida State University at the time.
Go Noles.
Yeah, go Noles. And anyway, he called me and he said, we have some people coming in to the Springs to look at it for a location. He said, I'm not going to be here. Would you mind taking him? I said, okay. So I picked him up from the airport, took him to the Springs, and they looked at the river and the water and everything, and they loved it. And the cameraman asked me if I'd swim in front of the camera so that they could get some perspective of the size of the fish and logs and grass compared to a human being. So I swam in front of the camera. They were very happy with the location, and I took them back to the airport, and they left. I went back to school, and a couple of weeks later, I get a call from the manager of the hotel again. He says, they're trying to reach you. I said, who? He says, the people that were scouting the location. They wanted to talk to you. He says, I gave them your phone number. I said, okay. So I then got a call from Jack Arnold.
We're good. You keep going. This will pick up over you.
I then got a call from Jack Arnold, who turned out to be the director of the film. He said, we're doing a movie about an underwater monster. He said, how would you like to be the monster? We like the way you swim. And I said, why not? So I went to California, and we spent, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks building a suit, which was rejected, and then they built another suit, which was accepted, and I packed it off and went to Waukulla Springs, where we began filming.
Were you the first one cast as a creature, or was Ben cast first, or did you two compete for that? Or did they have a big casting call for the monster?
I don't know what they did as far as finding the topside, you know, monster. My suit was built and I left. And then I know they then hired Ben.
Okay.
And they built his suit and he worked on the film in L.A. I had never met Ben. And I didn't meet him until 30 years later. And we did a show at Waukulla Springs called Creature Fest. And that's where we both met. And we became good friends, and we did some shows after that at different places.
And after The Creature came out and there were the subsequent sequels and everything, what other work did you have movie-related because of your experiences as The Creature?
Well, I don't know that it had much to do with The Creature film, but I worked on Sea Hunt with Ivan Tors. I worked as a stuntman first, and then later we went to the Bahamas and formed a company called Underwater Studio. And we spent 3 years shooting Sea Hunt underwater, and we shot other shows like Round the World Under the Sea, Lady in Cement, and different other features for other companies. And we did a TV series called Malibu Run, Aquanauts, and many other features.
And I understand you created a creature that back in the 60s was a very popular TV show and delighted kids and parents alike for many years to come after that.
Correct. I was remembering a time when I went to St. Augustine, Florida, to Marineland Studios as a teenager, and I saw dolphins working, and I learned a little bit about them. And then some years later, I came home and I was sitting watching television with my children, and we were watching Lassie. And I thought, well, why not make a movie about a boy and a dolphin? And the Greek coin have a kid riding a dolphin. And so my partner, Jack Cowden, and I got together. We wrote a book called Flipper. And I took it to New York and tried to publish it as a book and failed miserably. I didn't get it published. So I called Ivan, who was the producer of Sea Hunt, and I said, Ivan, would you do me a favor? I said, would you say you'd consider my book for them as a movie. It's a flipper. It's about a boy and a dolphin. And then I can call the book company and say that you were interested, and maybe that would get them to publish the book. And he said, yeah, I'll do it, but send me a copy. So I sent him a copy, and I called the book company, told them that I had a producer interested, but that didn't shake them up at all, and they didn't produce the book. But I did get a call back from Ivan a couple of weeks later. He said, I didn't read your book, but my wife did, and then she made me read it. And he said, let's do make a movie about Flipper. So he got the money from MGM, and we made Flipper.
And Flipper, you know, I watched Flipper as a kid. Most everybody I know wanted a pet dolphin as a kid because of Flipper. And, you know, you've had an amazing career with underwater, heavy swimming, diving, sea hunt, going all over the world. Have you done any work with strictly land-based activities? Did you do any mountain climbing type movies or TV shows or anything like that? Or has it all been water-related?
Well, most of them have been water-related, but some had a lot of topside to them.
So you kind of got typecast as a strong swimmer type, underwater roles and things like that.
Correct.
Excellent. Well, Mr. Browning, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I notice you have a couple of fans lined up here, so we'll wrap this up. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us at the Big Scary Show here at the Mad Monster Party, Charlotte, North Carolina. This is Drew Badger, and I am out. Hello, everybody. We hope you're enjoying this episode of the Big Scary Show, and now the time has come that you've all been waiting for. The Round Table of Terror. And this week, we have a scary special guest, our very first special guest, Mr. Charles Terry, who runs, among other things, HauntApps.com, HauntersDigest.com, and HauntersDigest.tv. You know, I've always said this internet thing is going to get big one day, and this is a guy that's utilizing it to the fullest, or almost to the fullest, for the haunt industry. Charles, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. And as usual, we have our normal hosts. We have Storm.
Hey, how we doing?
The unknown scare actor.
Always.
And the haunt rocker, Jerry Vane, who apparently is still not using an East German phone.
Not this time.
Not this time.
I'm moving to Canadian.
Excellent. Eh? So anyway, Charles Terry, you utilize things that people call apps, and I hear that those are going to be big one day too. For the sake of people who are old and technologically, you know, retarded like myself, apps, and, you know, basically how do they work in the haunt industry? What is Haunted Digest and what is HauntedDigest.tv? The world wishes to know.
That's kind of a loaded question.
We like loaded questions.
Let's start with what are the apps then? HauntApps basically creates mobile apps for haunted attractions that want a custom branded experience. And basically what mobile apps are, you know, a ton of people nowadays carry mobile phones that are pretty much smartphones. They're, you know, not your basic dummy phone that's just a phone dialer. They're a large screen. They have internet capabilities built into it. You know, you look around, you're going to see probably a lot of people with iPhones or with Androids. And iPhone market is a huge market that utilizes mobile app technology. In fact, they're the kind of the guys that got the ball rolling on everything. So what we wanted to do was provide haunted attractions that wanted to take advantage of this new emerging market without having to spend literally between $10,000 to $50,000 to hire a development company to come in and build them their own app. Mobile apps are a great way that an attraction can get all their information about what's going on at the attraction, ticketing options, season calendars, a behind-the-scenes view, live web streams. I mean, just any kind of content that you could put onto your website, and even more content that's even beyond the website, is available from within that application. And it resides on the person's mobile phone. So literally, as I tell clients and or potential clients, imagine that you've got your attraction's radio advertisement going on during the month of October, and at the end of the commercial, instead of saying, you know, visit our website at www.whatever-site.com, you actually can just say, download our app for free from the App Store and the Android Marketplace. So, and, you know, a person driving in the car could actually open up their phone, go to the App Store, assuming this is a passenger. You don't want the driver doing this because, you know, that just ends badly. But imagine the passenger, you know, the people in the back seat are doing this. They're installing, you know, their app. They're going to the Apple App Store. They do a search for your haunt name. And then, you know, they download the app for free directly to their phone. Well, now as they're driving to the location, they actually can get turn-by-turn driving directions from their current GPS location to tell them how to get from where they are, wherever in the world, directly to, you know, the front door of your attraction. They could be driving in a car in Beijing, and if you're, you know, in Nevada, they could get driving directions, assuming they ever build an, you know, an interstate between continents. They could literally drive from China to your front door. It'd be a long, smelly drive, but they could eventually get there using, you know, just the app. They could even bring up ticketing information. So we have a partnership with TicketLeap. We promote them as our preferred ticketing vendor. We work with them to optimize their mobile checkout experience. And if you have TicketLeap as your ticketing vendor, you can actually just plug in the URL to your ticketing or your ticketing website. And as soon as they touch, you know, they can find all the ticket options available that you have. They can click on or touch one and then touch the buy now option. And it would take them directly to the TicketLeap website from inside the app. And they could purchase tickets. So as soon as they, you know, now they've driven, gotten driving directions to your attraction, they've purchased tickets, they can literally walk straight up to the door and get in line and wait. And while they're actually standing in line, they can bring up a behind-the-scenes, you know, news feed about what you got going on in the attraction. They could. We've got some actually clients that are trying to work their animatronics in connection with the app. So if people bring up a screen inside the app that they could actually see a live stream from inside the attraction, and that they could push a button and actually trigger the animatronic inside, scaring the people as they're walking by, so kind of making it interactive. We had the Dent Schoolhouse last year used a great feature, which was that a person could take a photo of their friend standing in line and then submit that via the app to, you know, basically the Dent Schoolhouse, where they could be sitting in the office and printing out photos of the people that they were getting and giving it to a monster, and then the monster could go work the line, find that person, and you know, start terrorizing them. It was basically, you know, a dial a monster kind of feature. I mean, we have a lot of clients that want to do crazy and unique things with their apps. And what we try to do is provide them with that unique experience. And we charge a small yearly fee of, you know, just a couple hundred dollars in order to do that. So, I mean, you're literally saving tens of thousands of dollars that you could be now using, you know, in other parts of your marketing budget or in other parts of your prop building budget. I mean, it's just we're freeing you up and giving you access to a wide spectrum of being able to, you know, build that kind of brand awareness for your attraction via that mobile app. And the other great thing about with mobile apps versus just, you know, we have a lot of people say, well, why don't I just focus on a mobile website? Well, with our apps, we're able not only to install that app and make it a, you know, a residence inside their phone. People are more active, you know, during the course of the year that if they're flipping through their phone and they see that icon, they'll touch it and open it up. And now you're being able to, you know, it could be in the middle of May, and people, if you're putting the content about what's going on with your haunt in the off season, about, hey, maybe you're doing a new expansion or you're doing a new feature. I mean, there's been a couple of haunts I've seen recently that have released trailers about new areas and new new themes to their haunt, that if they were putting that content into their mobile app, you know, people could be following that information and actually, you know, getting excited about, you know, come October, now they're more interested in seeing your attraction versus the other guy down the street that doesn't have an app because they've been following you all year round. And, you know, you just can't kind of get that reach with just a mobile website. I mean, people will engage with you more. We find a lot of people are more engaged with our apps than just, you know, visiting a website because come June or July or May, you know, they're just maybe not interested or not even crossing their mind to visit, you know, a website. And then also some of the other features is with our new platform that we just released, we can actually send push notifications out. And hopefully we'll have that rolled out completely come October that, you know, if they have their app or your attractions app installed on their phone, they don't even have to visit your website for you to get them information. You can actually send a push notification of saying, hey, you know, $5 off, you know, tonight only, or, you know, we're having, you know, this Hollywood actor coming, you know, to our attraction. Be sure to be here tonight. And when they send out that push notification, it will actually appear as a message on the phone. So they don't, you know, even have to do anything, and you're being able to reach, you know, possibly hundreds or thousands of users that have your app installed on their phone. So So to put you an easy answer to what is a mobile app, that is a mobile app.
You know, I've got to say, Charles, and this goes out to the guys as well, the quote-unquote dial-a-monster feature that we used at the Dent Schoolhouse last year was absolutely a lot of fun, and we even took it a step further instead of, because usually I was the monster that went after them. Instead of going up to the computer in the office, I actually tied in through my iPhone. So all I had to do was step behind the scenes, look on my phone to see the photo that was taken through the access that Dent has, and I was right there scouting people out without actually leaving the area.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's, you know, Dent, we've loved working with Dent to do these kinds of features because, I mean, they're highly creative people, and this kind of relationship just really works out because, I mean, we provide a private client access, and it sounds like, you know, you were able just to log into it and be able to see the photos as they were coming in.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what we want to do is by, you know, making it as easy as possible to put that kind of power in the hands of the haunt and in order to make yourselves unique, you know, compared to, you know, maybe the haunt down the street that isn't trying to, you know, do this kind of user engagement. And when we work with haunts that kind of have that desire, that kind of will to do it, I think it really impacts the haunt's reputation on providing quality, you know, scares and entertainment that you know, you're just not going to get, you know, just by building a basic mobile website.
Right.
Unknown scare actor, I've got to ask, what would you say were the percentages last year of people who actually had iPhones while they were either waiting in queue or whether or not you noticed it or not? How many people versus just, you know, like me, I have a BlackBerry, which is like a dumb phone, but, you know, how many people were using smartphones? Would you say, you know, half, three quarters, a quarter?
I would say there was a good 45% to 50%. You know, both platforms, both Android and iPhone access. When we first started doing Dial a Monster, all of a sudden the hits, I mean, people were, the downloads on the app were just taking off as soon as people saw this going on. Plus with the, we had a trailer running that had something, an announcer talking about the iPhone app. But when we first did the app during the filming of the Travel Channel, it just took off. I mean, people, there were probably at least 30 downloads that night after we did it. So it and the percentage of smartphones, again, I said, had to be around close to half would have smartphones, and you'd see people all over the place on their phones when the ad would come up, because I worked the queue line as well as inside, and that ad would come up and you'd see people, oh, I got to get that. And I could count at least 10 people in line at any given time trying to figure out how to download the app real quick so they could take pictures of their friends so that I could come out and get them.
Yeah, and I think as technology continues to push forward, you're going to see an even larger market of people that use smartphone technology that, I mean, it's moving beyond dummy phones. I mean, it's not just about the youth having these phones or anything. I think it's just more or less everybody wants to have this kind of functionality to where they can pull up any kind of information that they want using their phone. I mean, I see, you know, and coming off technology wires like, you know, Gizmodo and TechBeat and all these different, you know, Silicon Valley news wires about how dummy phones are just kind of dying off to the side of the road. You know, I think, Badger, you mentioned you have a BlackBerry, and BlackBerry's trying to struggle right now with their OS and their technology and trying to compete with Android and with Apple because, you know, when Apple made the iPhone, they kind of revolutionized how, you know, the iPhone carriers looked at their devices. I mean, it's really kind of taken off. And with Google releasing Android and making it available to all these different, you know, phone manufacturers, and Microsoft now is starting to pick up by, you know, purchasing out a couple of, you know, Nokia and really starting to push mobile phone, the mobile Windows platform. You know, you're just going to start seeing a lot of these simple dummy phones going, you know, to where it's only people that want just basic functionality. And a lot of people are just going to be carrying around these smartphones. And Apple just has a huge market. I mean, it grows and grows and grows, and there's kind of no stopping it. And as Android is starting to even get larger and compete now with Apple, you know, you have all these different phone manufacturers that are making all these different Android devices that aren't even just, you know, phones anymore. They're now tablets. And Apple is stepping into this market again also, where you have iPads, you have Galaxies. I mean, it's just a huge market for these kinds of ways of being able to reach people and you know, build this brand awareness. And we're more than happy to work with Hans to try to get them, you know, onto these markets and into the, you know, hands of the consumers and really allow them to make this connection with their users without breaking the bank. I mean, if you went to an Apple or an iPhone developer and an Android developer and showed them our app and said, you know, how much would this be, you know, to create this? You know, I originally did that myself, not letting them know I was a developer myself, and showed them, you know, the functionality into it. And I, you know, asked, how much would it be? And I went to three different developers, and, it, you know, the prices they quoted me were amazing to me. You know, I got one quote for $10,000. I got one quote for $50,000. I got one quote for around 40-some thousand. And it was just, you know, what I was offering to my clients for, you know, basically 200 and some dollars a year. I mean, I'm, you know, you're making huge, vast savings. And that was just for one platform. If, you know, you're sitting there saying, hey, I want to make this app available both on, you know, the iPhone and the Android markets, then, you know, that's an entirely different development platform. And those developers are going to look at you and say, well, that's an additional 20,000 or that's additional 40,000. I mean, so, I mean, just getting one app on two different markets, if you go the way of doing it yourself, you can be anywhere between $20,000 to $100,000 just to get your app out there. And, you know, we know that a lot of these haunts don't have these budgets. You know, maybe Universal can do that, but, they, you know, smaller haunts can't do that, and we don't want them missing out on that market. So that's why we provide our services. If you sign up for it, you sign up for, you know, the $240 a year. You know, you're going to get both an iPhone and an Android application that's available from the marketplaces. You're responsible for your own developer licenses, which you have to do, you know, in order to distribute them. And then, you know, with our new platform, we have heard a lot of the clients that said, you know, I don't want my app looking like, you know, the same interface to the guy down the street that also has a hot app. I want to do something a little bit differently. With our new platform, we can actually offer now what we call the tab interface, which is your standard, you know, icons across the bottom of the application that a person can touch and get to different areas inside the app. And we start that at, you know, basically $100 to create that app. Or we can do what's called the grid interface, which is $250. And that allows you to have basically icons listed out in a more graphical, unique interface. In fact, if you go and check out one of our apps for Haunter's Digest called in the App Store called Haunter's Digest or H Digest, you can actually download that app and see that grid interface. And we'll be showcasing that during product examples as we're going to be at HauntCon and both Midwest Haunters. So if anybody wants to come up to our booth and ask what does, you know, the interfaces look like, we can show you the different interfaces and walk you through a different different product.
Now, Charles, you've been mentioned how, you know, the smartphones have driven the application process. How are the changes which have come to the smartphone market recently going to drive how you develop apps, how you develop them for your clients and what Haunts can do with them? The two coming to my mind is first the tiered billing that the cellular providers are using for data, and the other one is a lot of people switching from using the apps primarily on mobile phones to using them on their iPads and other tablet devices. How is that? How are those affecting the direction you plan to develop apps in the future?
Well, I'm always trying to stay up with the current technology and how the cellular companies, you know, want to use, because we can't just, I mean, if we had a client that came in and with our new platform, one of the cool things that we can do is we can actually put video backgrounds playing on the icons. So imagine we had a client that came in and says, hey, I want to have my monster, my iconic character, say, you know, stalking back and forth in this door frame. And, you know, I'd like to have the icons overlaid on it. You know, we can do that and we can do a custom job for that and develop that in. But to put that video file inside there, that may up the file size on the actual app icon, and Apple actually has limits on how large we can make these files, because if you're out driving around and you're on a cellular connection, that, you know, downloading that app or whatnot, depending on your carrier and their rules on, you know, App Store interface, or if they count that as a data cap when you update your apps, you know, it could affect your, you know, if you're on a tiered plan, that can affect, you know, your data usage. We try to find the easiest and simplest ways to push our technology that doesn't negatively impact your end user, because we, you know, if obviously if your end user is not happy with how the app is, say, you know, you got location services on and it's draining the battery of the app or of the phone by using the app, they're just going to delete your app. And we don't want that. So we actually will go out and see what the technology is doing, what the available options are, and we try to work an app that is pleasing to both our client as the haunted attraction and maximizing, you know, what they're wanting to do with the market reach on it and making it as presentable and nice to them as possible, while also not impacting the user and making sure that they have a negative experience with the app. We want them to have, you know, basically that they're happy to use the phone, that they're finding valuable content, it's easy to navigate, and it's not negatively impacting on their phone. So we kind of, in our design elements, we're always looking at those things. And, you know, if a client comes to us and says, hey, I want to do this, we try to make sure that we can accommodate them as close as possible. But we're always thinking, you know, where a client may not be thinking about one thing, you know, that's why we're paid to do that. I mean, we're always analyzing things from not just the client's angle, but the end user's angle, and making sure that that accomplishment is there. As far as being able to do what the client wants, I mean, like I said, we try to work with them as much as possible, and we're always trying to stay up on the technology. I mean, you mentioned tablets. One of the things.
Yeah, well,
we have,
my concern is, too, with the tablets and the haunts is nobody's going to be bringing their tablets to be in line at the haunt attraction with it.
You'd be actually surprised. We actually, when we went out, I go out with my tablet personally. You know, if I'm going to the coffee shop or if I'm going out anywhere, I may have my tablet with me or it may actually be in the car. If you've got a really, I mean, we've actually had a couple of haunts that says, you know, I want to take advantage of the iPad interface and maybe doing some video features. And the cool thing about our app is when you are downloading it from the App Store, if it has that little plus icon on the app, that means it's optimized not just for an iPhone experience, but for an iPad experience. So we're building basically both interfaces at the same time for the singular app. So if you download it for your iPhone and, you know, you're getting that same information, that same delivery, and then you also have an iPad also, you can, you know, you already downloaded it for free from the App Store. It's most likely if you're on the new iCloud stream that Apple delivers, most likely the app has already been installed on your iPad. So when you go and touch the iPad, an entirely different interface may open up and be totally optimized for that iPad experience. And whether it's a person at the in line, you know, with the iPad in hand, that's one thing. Or maybe they're at home later on and they're a fan of your haunt and you're saying, hey, you know, be sure to, you know, check us out. You already have the app, open it up on an iPad, and we've actually got special features just for iPad users. You know, it's maybe a video content or it's some kind of news channel or some way that, you know, we've worked with the client to build something interactive. Just because, you know, they have an iPad, we don't try to differentiate against that. And that's why we've actually made on our new platform, the clients that want to do that, it's an extra $250 and they can, you know, turn that option on at any time. And we build them basically an iPhone or an iPad experience and it's already prepackaged in their iPhone. So, you know, the user is basically getting two apps for the same single price of free.
In regard to options and stuff, what are you finding that the applications are being the most beneficial to Haunt? Are you finding that ticket sales are something that's more affected by Haunt? Is it the entertainment value? Is it the queue line? What's the thing that's standing out most from the apps you've developed that you've seen the most success with?
Well, I think depending on the aspect of it, I mean, we created an app for Halloween Horror Nights just as a proof of concept. So clients could kind of take a look at what we could do for an actual haunted attraction. And when we downloaded or when we created that and we put it in the App Store, we actually got a lot of comments of people saying that the app that we built for Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando was way better than the official one that Universal had put out. And we were just basically pushing attraction information, scare zone information. We were pushing out the ticketing options. They could purchase the tickets directly from inside the app. They were able to follow a news feed of what was going on during the event that their PR teams were sending to us when we were re-releasing it through the app. We had just a park map. So if you were walking around the theme park and you wanted to see where the attraction was, you could open up your phone and get that map.
Was it more the information? Did the Universal app itself have more interactive stuff that wasn't as appealing? What was it?
I think it was just less appealing
than the info?
I think it's just more or less the power of being able to do what a person wants when they want it is a huge impactor. I mean, if you have to look at it from multiple angles. If you're the attraction, you're looking at it as, one, I'm putting the availability of being able to purchase tickets at any time inside that app, wherever you are in the world, if you got a mobile phone and you got a 3G or a 4G connection on it, you're going to be able to purchase tickets through me if I've already got my ticketing set up in the, inside the app through TicketLeap or Interactive Ticketing or whoever your vendor is, assuming they do mobile ticket options. If you're, you know, wanting, if you're trying to do brand awareness and brand loyalty to you, you know, pushing out behind the scenes information, pushing out what's going on at the attraction at any moment, that's a huge thing. You know, a lot of major theme parks like to do, because that's what gets people interested and gets them geared up. And, you know, that's the reason, like, Universal pushes out all the behind the scenes, what's going on. You know, you got John Murdy making those videos, or you got, you know, the guys pushing out press releases about, hey, this is who's coming and building this attraction, and it's in the middle of August. If they're plugging that information in and the people have that app installed on their phone, they're able to get that access at, you know, 24/7, and it really builds brand loyalty and brand awareness to you that I think a lot of haunts could take advantage of. And if you're looking at it as from what's the best feature, to me, honestly, I don't think there's one really major thing. I think it's just as a combined package, if you're able to grab the attention of that person, lob them into keeping, you know, interest into your attraction year-round, you know, come October, if it's the choice between I only got $20 and I have to go between A or B haunt, if I've been, you know, following the whole year, you know, haunt A with his app, I think you're more likely going to end up at haunt A than you will with the other guy who, you know, has just basically started advertising, you know, the last week of September, and that's all he's done all year.
All right, well, we've only got 2 or 3 minutes left. Guys, anything to wrap up on with the subject of apps for smartphones?
I'm good with the apps. We need to talk about Haunter's Digest.
Okay, if we can, yeah, we got a couple minutes.
Okay, I got so much going on. I can go on and on about that Haunt app stuff. You need like a whole 2-hour show or something.
Well, let's talk about Haunter's Digest.
Well, Haunter's Digest is basically a news portal for the haunt industry. I started it about in June of 2010 when I started to get involved in really heavy into the haunt industry, and I didn't think there was anybody out there that provided a daily news blog of what was going on in the industry. I mean, there's been some magazines out there, but nobody on a day-to-day or a weekly, you know, basis of you know, keeping up the tabs with vendors or with haunted attractions. So we created Haunter's Digest in order to provide that function. So we pull news articles. If somebody, you know, we get submissions all the time from people saying, hey, this is what's going on with my attraction, or hey, this is what I heard, you know, about this attraction over there. And they submit that content to us, and we post it up on our website. If we're out and about and we see a good tutorial created by another haunter that is, hey, this is the animatronic we built, or this is our makeup that we do, and we want to share this information with the haunt industry, and they post it on their website, we feature that content on our website. We've recently started video shows, or video news shows, with the Haunt Brief, which is our weekly news video of from the haunt industry, where we do interviews with different key people from the industry. We've done ones with Shane Dobbs about the Insane Shane Party. Recently, we just released one with Barry from Midwest Haunters Convention. We've just got a huge array of things that we try to do in order to positively show the haunt industry as what it is, a great industry to be involved in. And now we've expanded now into live broadcasting. This past Transworld, we were at the Insane Shane Party, and we did some live broadcasting from the party, so people that weren't able to go could log into our website and watch it through our Facebook fan page or from our website. We're going to be at HauntCon this year. We're going to be at Midwest Haunters Convention, and we'll be live broadcasting from the convention floors, so people that may not be able to make it to the show, they can actually log in and see everything that's going on from our trade booth. And we'll be walking around, you know, in the after parties, you know, broadcasting what's going on there. So it gives a glimpse for people that aren't unfortunately able to be there to hang out and chat with other haunters online and check out what's going on the show. And then we have also the Haunter's Digest mobile app, which has been a hugely popular app. We were featured by last Halloween, I believe, we made it like the number 2 most popular Halloween app that was a free app. I think Twilight was the only thing that beat us out. Those damn vampires. And we
especially
we have,
the sparkly ones.
Yeah, the sparkly ones. I hate them. But I mean, we have huge. we had huge numbers download our app, and we have a very big audience just for our mobile version of our app. And we've recently just done an entire overhaul of the app. We now offer our news feed, our video feed from HauntersDigest.tv in there. In fact, we have the industry's best haunt vendor review system, to where, you know, unfortunately in this industry, sometimes dealing with vendors isn't always a great or positive experience. We actually built, you know, based on people's complaints, we actually built like a better business bureau of haunt vendor reviews, to where you can log into our website and be able to view a vendor and see what other people are saying about them, see their rating, and check them out before basically you do business with them, and hopefully avoid maybe possibly getting burned or finding who's quality, you know, a quality vendor in the industry. And with our mobile app, one of the, you know, with the great thing about our new app with H Digest is basically you can be walking around the Trans World show floor, you can be walking around the trade show at HauntCon or Midwest, and be able to click vendor reviews, bring up, you know, that particular vendor. Say you're standing in front of his booth, and be able to bring up that vendor and see, okay, he's rated, you know, 4 out of 5pumpkins is what we call them. And you can actually look up that vendor information, touch a button, and be able to be taken to our website and see what other, you know, people are saying about him. And you're standing right there. I mean, that may be what, you know, keeps you from wasting tens of hundreds or thousands of dollars or doing business with them. And hopefully, you know, vendors will pay attention to this and they'll start, you know, either, you know, cleaning up their act or getting out of the business altogether, and it'll stop burning a lot of potential people, you know, wasting money with unquality vendors.
Hey, Charles, I'm looking at my profile on Haunters Digest under the vendor reviews. How come you didn't put my picture up there?
Which picture?
Oh, jeez. Because you're an ugly bastard, that's why.
Let me explain something. One thing. For all the vendors out there that may be listening to this, Haunters Digest is 100% free. We do not charge vendors for these profiles. If you even want a premium profile, which is basically we hook up your Facebook fan page to our website, all you have to do is up in the upper, I think, right-hand corner, just off to the side of where your company name is a link that says, "Are you this vendor?" If you click on that link, it'll take you to a form. You fill out all the contact information about your company, what information you want on that vendor profile, and we will update all that information on that profile and hook it into you. And it's just basically you just have to let us know what content, send us what you want on that profile, and then keep it up to date by sending us those updates.
Okay.
We're more than happy to do that for free. And like I said, it's a free service for, you know, we offer the app for free to the end user. We offer the website content for free to anybody that wants to visit. And we even offer that ability to hook in with your customers for free from the vendor. So you're basically getting a lot of free advertising. Whether it's good or bad is going to be up to you. And
I'll send you a current headshot.
Yes, please do. And, in fact, one of the things that we tell vendors is on the front page of our website or in our vendor section or our haunt resource section where you can, if you're actually looking for something particular, you can click on haunt resources. Say you're needing to find fog juice, you can actually click on haunt resources and then fog supplies and be able to find all the different fog vendors. And we actually have featured or preferred vendors that are listed at the top of the list. We don't sell those spots. That's actually vendors that either have 5-star ratings and have, you know, a ton of Facebook comments of people saying, "Hey, do business with this person," and they've been highly recommended to us. And we've personally done business with them before on a one-on-one, and I know that vendor. Again, that's not, you know, something that they're buying. That's actually something that is either, you know, being rated and being recommended by other people. So we tell vendors, if you got people that are buying from you and they're recommending you, tell them to visit, you know, your profile, rate you, and those vendors that get 5 stars have, you know, a minimum number of Facebook comments. We don't say what the number is because we just don't want people saying, "Hey, you know, go post that." We want, you know, this actually to be as honest as possible. We will give you the free premium listing. And in fact, we've even said those quality vendors will actually give you free advertising on HauntersDigest.tv as our way of rewarding you being a quality vendor. Because with me and Haunters Digest, it's not about making money. We're not about, you know, trying to sell banners to haunt vendors or whatever. It's great if they do buy a vendor because it helps us, you know, keep the site going. That's why we have like a donate button for people that, you know, if you enjoy the service and you think we're doing a good job, feel free to donate, you know, $5 or $10 to us. But we're not about it to make money. This is a service that, you know, we're trying to do to promote the haunt industry as positively as possible and really help haunters connect on a business to business level and on a consumer to business level. But we're really running out of time. Any final thoughts?
I was going to say, Charles, this is the time that we normally call the plugs, so plug away.
Well, visit, if you got questions, you know, about mobile apps, visit hauntapps.com. send us a note or drop us an email. I'm more than happy to discuss any app needs that any haunt has. And if you're just a fan of the haunt industry, or you're looking for tutorials or what's going on in the industry, or looking for, you know, good shows to watch besides this one, you know, be sure to visit hauntersdigest.com and you'll get your fix for everything haunt industry. And if you got anything that you want to see on the website, feel free to, you know, send us a contact link. We're always interested in reaching out, meeting people, and finding out what you want, enhancing the website to make it what you want. And we're always looking for volunteer writers. If you think you got a tutorial or you got something you want to share with the industry, we're more than happy to publish that and put that. I mean, you can ask the Unknown Scare Actor. He's one of our featured guest writers. We love having him on, and everybody always loves his articles on scare acting, and we hope to see more of those soon from you soon.
You will.
Awesome.
Well, we want to.
I've plugged.
What was that, Jerry?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Somebody plugged. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, Charles Terry, it has been a distinct pleasure and an honor to have you as our scary first guest star, a guest host, on the Roundtable of Terror.
I appreciate it.
I think this Haunted Digest and HauntedDigest.tv and .com are, you know, you should be getting a slew of hits on those. Haunt apps, the future is here, and it is in the form of apps. So one quick question, if I may. Do you think apps will signify the end of straight websites for haunts?
Oh, that is such a not a two-minute answer.
Well, how about we save that for a later time? We'll definitely have you back on here after convention season and kind of follow up on some of the things we just barely touched on today. Sound good to you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would love to. I think, you know, to give you a quick answer, I don't think websites in general are going to go anywhere because, you know, websites are important, but you cannot ignore, you know, mobile and app. I mean, mobile is going to be, you know, it is the big thing. You have to be mobile. And if you're not, you're really missing a huge potential market and potential sales. So, yeah, I think you need to keep your website, but I think you also need to be focusing on your mobile efforts a little bit more than worrying about your Flash-based website, which you probably should be getting rid of to begin with because Flash doesn't even work on a lot of devices anymore.
And I should probably upgrade my BlackBerry to something else, is what it says.
Yeah, like probably, yeah. And I, as a personal,
compared to my
BlackBerry's
East German
not
phone.
Doing good, buddy. It's time to go to an iPhone or an Android.
Hey, I was using analog phones until 2006 when they took all the relays down.
Wow. I still have
never
a slider
dropped
phone,
a call,
so.
Ever. But anyway, well, Charles Terry, we've got to wrap this up, unfortunately. It has been a pleasure. We will have you back on the Roundtable of Terror very, very soon. I'd like to thank the Unknown Scare Actor and Storm and the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane for their input. Charles, again, thank you so much. We will see you at Midwest Haunters Convention. This show will probably air after HauntCon. We'll know you'll already have attended HauntCon. Midwest coming up, so anybody going to Midwest Haunters Convention, please stop by, talk with Charles, and I wish you nothing but success, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And real quick, you guys, you have to make sure to come by at HauntCon or Midwest. Come by the booth. We need to get you on the Haunt Brief to talk about your show. It's a great show. I love it.
We will consider that an invitation, and we will accept. Anyway, once again, Charles Terry from Haunters Digest, Haunt Apps, all your application needs, all your haunting needs. This technology thing is going sky high. Once again, thank you, Unknown Scare Actor. Thank you, Storm. Thank you, The Haunt Rocker. My name is Drew Badger. This is the Roundtable of Terror on The Big Scary Show.
The Tremors. Late Night Drive-In Monster Show on The Big Scary Show.
Come on down if you dare to. Late Night Drive-In. When the moon is nice and cold, you can hear that zombie monster call. Big Monster Call. At the Late Night Drive-In Monster Show. Put the teenage monsters like a pony pole. At the Late Night Drive-In Monster Show. It's an all-night scarecrow for my freak. But the Late Night Drive-In Monster Show. Put the zombie monster for a chump on your phone. At the Late Night Drive-In Monster Show. With the rising sun, you know it's gone, gone, gone.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist who's ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out The Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble, committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger live at the Canadian Haunters Attraction Convention. The trade show floor is closing up. People are walking out, getting ready to go off and do dinners and hanging out and partying and whatever it is that these wacky Canadians do up here in the Great White North. I have no idea. I'm just a stranger in a strange land. But I was very intrigued at something I saw earlier today. I went by the Gothic Gourds booth, where Stacy Salmon is the proprietor of it, and she puts together some very, very interesting things that you might not necessarily think of for your haunted attraction. She puts together very, very dark and spooky floral arrangements and pumpkin carvings and just very, very cool stuff. So I thought I had to come talk to her. She was busy most all the day, so I had to wait till the end of the day to talk to her. Stacy, how are you doing?
I am exhausted but super excited, and nice to see you and meet you, and this is a super opportunity for me, and I'm awesome. Thanks.
And how has the Canadian Haunted Attraction Convention been so far for you today?
Very successful. I feel like every year it's getting bigger and bigger, and, you know, we bring you guys from the States, and we partner up, and you learn our crazy ways, and we learn to talk with a drawl, and, you know, we can build something great. It's been super successful.
I'll teach you how to say y'all if you can teach me how to say eh, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, good. So tell us a little bit about how Gothic Gourds came to be. I mean, you know, if you have a Victorian mansion, you've got to have flowers. And, you know, black roses have been done to death. But this is a little bit of a taking it up a notch from just your traditional dead flowers in a vase kind of thing. What is it, and how did it come about?
I have a really big dining room table, and I love Addams Family, classic kind of Disney World haunted mansion, and I thought, I really need a really nice floral arrangement that's classy, but spooky. So I started making them. I started getting silks, because I only work with silks, and rarely ever dried, because they don't last as long as the silks do. So then I started putting bones in them, and I would put, a Tim Burton kind of bow with something that looks like a vine, and I might put a bug on it, or I do a totally classic sort of take on real red roses silk.
I've seen crows in your stuff. Oh. I've seen bugs. I've seen all sorts of very, very gothic, like Edgar Allan Poe type things as well.
Yep. And then I might spiderweb them up a little bit, or everyone's different because I'm an artist, not really, you know.
So you're not looking to mass produce. Well, maybe you are, but right now you're making these kind of custom, hand by hand, everything like that, looking for somebody who might be able to mass produce these.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one that I know does it. I mean, if you go to certain stores, you can get some cheap thing with a scarecrow in it for Halloween, but yeah, I like custom stuff. I've done a lot of custom things for spooky folk around here, and Yeah, I think it's a niche that really needs to be explored, and I'm glad that I started to do it.
I can see this being used, as I said earlier, in any type of Victorian mansion type haunt, any type of formal dining room type haunt, walking through old castles, even at things like ticket windows and stuff, where it's just basically an atmosphere type of piece. It really is high quality looking stuff. It's carved, it's put inside a foam pumpkin, so it's not going to rot. It's really, really cool stuff that you've got, what you've done. Do you do the foam carving of the pumpkins as well, or do you just take one that's already been hollowed out, put it all together?
For the floral arrangements, I take the foam pumpkin, and so that the silks really stay, I either put them on sticks and glue them in. I don't carve them out.
Okay.
I, like, jab them
right
in there.
You just stab away.
I stab away, yeah. So
that's
really
fitting.
Stay. And I make sure that all the sides are covered, and so you don't see any of the jamming and stabbing with, you know, whatever bugs or dead-looking leaves. And stuff.
Well, you mentioned earlier you're looking at maybe making a few prototypes and looking for a distributor. What are you hoping happens there? Are you looking at somebody who might be able to mass-produce something like this? Do you think you're going to lose the artistic creativity of that if that happens?
That's a really hard question, Drew. I think it's possible. I would be very particular because I'm a perfectionist. Nothing leaves my... Yeah, I don't have a studio. Nothing leaves my spooky basement without it looking absolutely perfect. So if I could design 6 or 7 that are just, you know, for the home person who has a home haunt or just likes a nice floral arrangement, then yeah, I think that's possible. And some of the ones that I do are kind of just autumn themed, so you can have them out for Thanksgiving and keep them up until Halloween. So that's kind of longevity, and you get 2 holidays out of one.
Oh, that's right. You wacky Canadians have that Thanksgiving before Halloween thing here. So, but it could go into Thanksgiving in the States, too. So I understand. Yeah, that works out. That's just one of those weird cultural difference things we do here.
I was also thinking when you're talking about atmospheric stuff, I can do floral arrangements because they're silk. They can go outside. So in a graveyard scene, if you need flowers on a graveyard
or a casket,
I actually made one for a casket haunt last year that looks amazing. I could make something totally gruesome and dead-looking, but yet it's completely looks realistic, but it's made out of silk, so it'll last forever.
And if somebody was interested in seeing samples of your products or photographs or price lists or any way to just contact you for more information, what would be the best way to go about doing that?
The best way, I am getting a website. It should be up any day. My website is www.gothicgourds.com. The best way to contact me is through email, and I would gladly get back to anyone who has any interest.
And that email would be?
Oh, gosh, I'm such a dummy. GothicGourds@Hotmail.com.
GothicGourds@Hotmail.com. Look for GothicGourds.com coming soon. Again, if you've got a Victorian-type haunt, if you have a home haunt, this would be perfect for you. Walking through cemeteries, have these things in front of tombstones. If you have an open casket, perfect type situation for a funeral parlor-type haunt. Perfect situation for Victorian-era Edgar Allan Poe, any of that good stuff. You also had a lot of other type of, shall I say, Edgar Allan Poe-inspired type things. You have postcards and soaps and all sorts of other little crafty things, which I assume will be on the website.
Yeah. The website, when it's up, will have a store attached to it, so a lot of custom stuff. I'm also a professional pumpkin carver, so I can do logos and things in foam pumpkins also and faces and all that stuff.
Most excellent. Once again, Gothic Gourds, hopefully by the time this airs in the next couple of weeks, GothicGourds.com will be up. Stacey Salmon, a distinct pleasure to speak to you. It was wonderful to meet you last night at the reception, and I wish you nothing but great success with Gothic Gourds. Hopefully you'll find a distributor who will hopefully send these things worldwide, but in the meantime, custom designs, floral arrangements, dark, spooky, crows, insects, all that good stuff. GothicGourds.com for all your needs. Once again, Drew Badger at the Canadian Attractions Haunted Attractions Convention, and I am out.
Gimme bloodshed, gimme hell yeah!
Wednesday 13. Gimme bloodshed, bloodshed on the Big Scary on Show. The Big Scary Show.
Your eyes, be very cheap, take a look around. You're miles away from anyone and no one.
Unknown Scare Actor here, Big Scary Show listeners, standing outside of 100 Acres Manor. And what do I hear playing but some music from our resident musician, the haunt rocker, Jerry Vane. I got a couple of people out here that are standing out here with me listening to the music. I want to get some opinions. Tell me, what do you think of Jerry Vane's music?
This isn't even haunt music. I want to hear some Virgil Franklin.
Yeah, this sucks. We want Midnight Syndicate.
Well, Jerry, the masses have spoken. I don't know what we're going to do about this. You're going to have to step it up a notch. This is the Unknown Scare Actor, and I am out.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Well, this time on Face Your Fears, I had intended to talk to a couple of vendors at HauntCon, but who'd have thought that Sunday would be as busy as it was? I put off most of my stuff until Sunday, thinking, it'll be a little bit slower. I can get some interviews in, and that just was not the case. The floor was really jumping today. I'm actually in the Unknown Scare Actor mobile, heading back to Cincinnati, Ohio. Got to start a new job in the morning, so I had to cut out a little bit early. But I thoroughly enjoyed HauntCon and everything about it. It's a little bit smaller than the others, but it's packed full of quality vendors and education. I got to teach two classes, one on haunt acting, one on cue line acting. That was very enjoyable, and I think we're going to expand the cue line acting class in the future. So keep an eye out for that at a convention coming soon. Not Midwest, but maybe next year. I got to meet some great people that names in the business that a lot of people have heard, and I haven't had the pleasure of meeting until now, such as Nick and Brian Wolf, the Wolf Brothers, Evil Twin FX. I talked to Keith with Pumpkin Teeth, and Scott Curran, who does Prelude to a Nightmare, good guy. got to hang out with RJ Hattie from Face Off Season 2 for a while. Had some dinner with him and some other people, including Kathy and Barry Schieferstein, Drew Badger, Scott Coran, and a couple of guys that worked with RJ. We even got to share a pineapple beer, which was actually quite good. Doesn't sound that way, but I enjoyed it. Well, let's see, what else? I got to talk with a couple of the walkers from The Walking Dead, Danny Riker and Savannah Jade Wehunt. I keep putting a D in there for some reason. Sorry, Savannah. And they gave me some insight into what goes on during The Walking Dead filming. And I've got an interview with Savannah I think you might find a little bit interesting. I plan on having both Savannah and Danny on a future Roundtable of Terror talking about what's hot, and what's hot is still zombies, and we want to share their knowledge of zombies with our listeners. Overall, really pleased with HauntCon. Hopefully next year it's within traveling distance for me, because I enjoyed myself, met some great people. Highly recommend when HauntCon comes to your area that you go, because you're going to get the education, you're going to get to go to the Haunts, 100 Acre Manor, a Friday night tour, absolutely a huge haunt. Nearly 45 minutes it took for me to get through there. Most of their actors were really on their game. I even jumped once, which is not an easy feat for me, and got lost in their maze, believe it or not. It took a lot, and four of us, to figure out how to get out of there, and that maybe added some time, but it was all good, and they've got a great set decoration and different themes going on, and it's got to be one of the best, if not the best, charity haunt in the nation. Well, that's going to be it this week for Face Your Fears, Haunters. Hopefully in the near future I'll sit down and talk with vendors about what's in their head and why they do what they do to scare you. And until then, always remember one thing. Everyone is afraid of something.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Stacy Salmon with Gothic Gourds, gothicgourds.com. Charles Terry with hauntapps.com, hauntersdigest.com, and hauntersdigest.tv. Rico Browning, The Creature, Jimmy Talkington, and Thornweb Designs, thornwebdesigns.com. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, at hauntaudio.com. Von Caron Productions, Von Caron, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at screamlinestudios.com. And Mommy D for contributing to this episode of the show. We'd also like to thank the four ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The haunt rocker, Jerry Vane, pick up his latest CD, The Attic, at jerryvane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, rabbitbadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@bigscaryshow.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Or on Twitter at Big Scary Show. And you can find us on iTunes. Search Big Scary Show in the iTunes store. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is the Big Scary Show.
Well, everyone, Drew Badger here. Finally heading back from HauntCon. It's been an amazing couple of days. Loved every minute of it. And I finally managed to locate Mommy D. Last time I saw her, she had a thermos full of Pepsi teenies and she was dancing with some cabana boy out around the pool. Mommy D, how are your impressions of HauntCon? Mommy D, are you awake? Mommy D? Mommy D? Well, I don't know how she answered her phone, but Mommy D apparently has not worn off the effects of HauntCon yet. We'll try to get her for an exclusive interview with the next show. Once again, thank you, Mommy D, for your contribution to the show. Once again, Drew Badger here for the Big Scary Show, post-HauntCon, and I am out.